driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated asphalt, concrete, paving, contractor, that there are all of that for you for the New Orleans and Bayou region. So go check them out here as well, as we got a ton to get into. Thanks to the Graph, they're already on the plane getting ready to take off as the Pelicans will head out east for four games on the road. Brooklyn tomorrow night, and then come straight down over to Florida, South Florida. They're going to play Orlando on Thursday, and then on Friday, the Miami Heat. And on Sunday, they'll fly back up to Detroit before coming home for six games in a row at the Blender. Games that I have called and dubbed the Gauntlet. Pelicans in the fifth seed, 41-26. That 50-win mark is right around the corner. That homestand, though, I was talking about, starts with the Thunder, then the Bucks, then the Celtics, then the Suns, then the Magic, all those teams in the playoffs. All those teams are battling for seeding. Then you play the Spurs, who are playing very well. Victor Wembanyama is playing well. Then you go on the road for four straight. Again, at the Suns, Trailblazers, the Kings, the Warriors, and then come home on April 14th and take on the Lakers in the regular season finale. Pels getting the win on Friday. We heard from earlier, and then we also had the game on Saturday against the Trailblazers and had to get that out of the way and find a way to win, and that was key because you had to match that energy and, more importantly, find a way to win. That's what it sounded like with the Graph and JD.
Now Zion again, right to the rack.
That's just meat.
Another layup.
As Shaq will say, that's just barbecue chicken.
Now Walker down low. Nobody. No, except Brandon Ingram.
Weak side.
Up the floor, Najee. Alley-oop, Z.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Kiss the rim, Z.
That one looked like it was going out of bounds, and Zion Williams says, no, it's not.
Z made him right.
Eight. Help the weak great side. Weak side help Ingram.
That's the way you help your teammate.
To trade a CJ for three, left angle.
Defense to offense.
Simons to the rack. Off the glass and in. No defense at all. Zion powers in on Walker.
My goodness gracious.
Throws it up and one. Hey, thanks, ref, for calling a foul.
Woo!
All right, somebody make a three here. Or an alley-oop. Ingram on the hash mark. Right side. Alley-oop Z.
Got it! Tipped it in.
Go!
Yes, indeed.
On a tip!
You go, boy!
CJ straight away three. Got it.
It's your dream.
This is an all-star game. An all-star game.
Yeah.
To Z, around the perimeter to Nod. Spins left. Floats it up and in over Dwight Reef.
Cinderella.
Two-man game with Ayton. JRE on the switch. Great job. Ingram stepped in front and intercepted it. To JRE. Extra pass McCollum. Left corner three. Good.
Offense to defense. Defense to offense.
Ingram to Trey. Extra pass McCollum. Left corner three.
Yes, sir. Buckets. That's five threes for Christian James McCollum. That's a 15-point lead. And things are looking up.
Zion to Trey. Wide open right side three.
There's the 20.
So that is four 20-point scores for New Orleans.
15 games remain. They're in fifth spot. 2.5 game lead on 6, 7, and 8. You got a 5.5 game lead on 9 and 10, the Warriors and the Lakers. West Bank Grit, give me your best minute and a half, sir, so I can play some fresh Nathan Peterman sound. I know Uncle Earl and Chef Scotty are eager to hear what the backup role could be, perhaps be, or the battle for the backup spot at quarterback. What's up, West Bank Grit? How are you, man?
JD was about to say, but, you know, time constraint. P-5-0-5. I'll be darned. Here it comes. The double dust bus coming down the street. Better get on board. Move your feet. I mean, they got the bandwagon. We're going to call ours the double dust bus wagon. So you can get on board, everybody. I mean, if you're talking about, I want to talk about Brandon and the 7'1" inch arm wingspan.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, I was up there telling somebody, he's on, to me, on pace of being an average triple-double. He's playing winning basketball. And the touch by Zion, I talked about this before, and I said, man, this dude has a touch around the rim I don't know nobody has. And I did give, I know he not going to get it, Herb Jones not going to get MVP, but I still say he's my MVP. I've never seen somebody come from underneath the rim and run straight to the three-point line and block a really good three-point shooter. Get his own rebound and score. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you get any better than that.
Yeah. No, like I said, man, you're that's why we talked about it with Todd. Obviously, seeing the maturation, transformation, and Zion step up, I mean, that is the story, no doubt, right? You want to see that this season because that's – and you saw Brandon at the best, CJ at his best. There's a ceiling. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but if you're going to beat – and you, what you saw last night, man, in Dallas, it's Kyrie and Luka versus Jokic and Murray. I mean, you know, you got to have a guy that can match those players – in those key moments that want the ball, want that shot, are looking for it. And you're starting to see that with him, you know? And look, I'm going to say, to me, the biggest play and highlight of the weekend, it might surprise some people. And I think it's, to me, not a dunk, not an alley-oop, anything. And I talked about it Saturday going into the game as well. But West Bank Rick, I don't know if you remember this, but it's against the Clippers. And, you know, game was tight, right? And it was one of those things that he did that stood out to me. It was third quarter. This made it 54-49. Tell me if you remember this or not.
Tells ball. McCollum right angle three. That is so far off. Short. Tipped away by Z. Back to McCollum. Now Zion right block. Powers in. Yeah. Lays it in.
That's a good reset. CJ McCollum backs it out off the offensive rebound. Zion posts up, and that's a mismatch.
I'm telling you, that to me stood out to me because then they went on a run, and then they kind of it was him saying, I'm taking over. He was diving on the ball, I mean, on the floor after that for a loose ball. But that tip in, there were three Clippers around that ball, and he kept it alive. And then he reset in the right block, said, give me the ball. And then he scored immediately because they couldn't defend him. And that, to me, I saw that and I marked it. I'm like, man, that's different. Because he kept that possession had no business staying with the Pels, much less turning it to points. He created that. And I think that's what stood out to me.
That was just, he's using his body.
Yeah.
He's using his body. He's making space with that shoulder. Which I kept on saying, man, if he learned how to use his body, that big old shoulder he's dropping on people, he's moving everybody out the way.
Yeah.
And you could barely get to him once he starts the finger roll. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. This is what I've been looking for. So, you know, I am super hyped. Pels 12, I've been hollering at them. They've been running into me. You got to give the updates on the places we're going to be at because you know I'm a ball hopper.
No, well, tomorrow we'll be at Evandrian Lounge. I've never been there. The conductor likes going there as well. So we'll be at Evandrian Lounge tomorrow in Mid-City. Friday will be Wrong Iron.
Yeah.
So those are the two places this
please
week.
Please get my podcast out. I only got one last week. I'm Todd. If you listen, Todd, so, I need you to complain for me.
Yeah, man. No, I'm with you. We had every intentions of doing one today, and then right in the middle, Nathan Peterman decided he had to have his own podcast as well. So we got bumped today, but we will have one tomorrow, and we'll have one on Wednesday. But there's a bunch of Saints players doing some stuff today, so we got bumped. But
all right.
I promise you, tomorrow it's coming out tomorrow morning.
All right, flock up, man. Flock up.
I love that. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I do want to get some of this Nathan Peterman sound out again. It's what we got bumped for, so you might as well hear what he has to say as to a couple of things here as well. All right, first and foremost, being a Saint. Why? Why do you want to be a Saint?
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, I've always, I don't know, something about just being here at the Saints was always kind of a cool thought to me. You know, I talked to him a little bit pre-draft, and so, you know, and had the opportunity to be here. Now, super excited about it. Then, you know, the opportunity to compete was a big one as well, just to, you know, get out there and throw the ball around and see what happens, you know, on the field is awesome. And then, obviously, I have a little bit of familiarity with Derek as well, you know, spent 3 years with them with the Raiders, and had a lot of good times there. So just looking forward to getting that started again and see him soon.
So to that point, obviously would think that they've spoken.
Yeah. He was one of the first calls I made, kind of deciding on everything and to talk through things and stuff. And obviously he kind of knew the situation here and knew, had been here for a year. So was a good guy to kind of talk to and, get an option. I'm extremely excited to be back with them. We had a great relationship, you know, and have continued to have that. It's been fun, you know, in the room. I've always tried to help him as much as possible and on game day as well, any way I can. And then, you know, I think you always need somebody just to kind of have fun and compete with too. You know, Derek's a great competitor. And so, always trying to push each other, whatever it is in practice, I think is important too.
And I do think that's probably something that you want here as well. Continue to make Derek as comfortable as possible, and having, again, every move that the Saints have made sense, and they're purposeful, right? Look, Peterman's also worked with Andrew Chinoco over there in Chicago.
Yeah, I think he's an extremely hard worker. He's always extremely prepared, extremely detailed, and so I think he's going to do a great job of that, just continue to do that. And then, he does a great job also just of making things fun, you know, but also just, you know, keeping it competitive on the field as well with drill work or whatever it is. So I think he'll do a great job, continue to do that here in New Orleans.
And Chinoco is the quarterback's coach, replacing Ronald Curry. And that, he says, is a reason that he did look over here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely was a big part of it. Good to be back with him. Obviously, I was with him the last 2 years, so good to be able to keep that going and, see what we can do here.
And look, Chinoco was Kubiak's quarterback's coach when he was calling plays as the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator back in 2021. So, again, it just makes sense to kind of have people that they're familiar with all spending time together, right? He also said that he did get a chance to talk to staff this morning and get that first look-see at that playbook they're putting together.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just kind of some things that they've done in their past, some things that they might be looking to do now, just combining a few things. And they do a great job of just putting the defense on its heels, you know, attacking the defenses in a lot of different ways. You know, there's a lot of talented defenses, a lot of talented defensive players. So any way you can attack those guys a little bit differently, whether it be in the run game or the pass game, quarterback movement, whatever it is, I think they've always done a great job of that. So I'm looking forward to getting into the work of it.
Again, also familiarity. You have a guy that's run the system that understands it, that can help Derek, that can help at practice, that can help in the quarterback room, including Jake Haener there as well. We have a little bit more from Nathan Peterman that we will play coming up in a little bit. Rafael Esparza for the next 30 minutes. But before we do that, quickly, man, Patrick, I see you on hold. I want to come to you before we go to the break and get into our brackets. So what do you got, man? Give me your best 60 to 90 seconds.
No, I've been listening for the past few weeks and avoiding calling because it really does no good. But, I mean, how is this team better with Nathan Peterman? I mean, name is, what are they just going to let Taysom go? You know, this isn't you called it a rebuild, but when you rebuild, you want to add the best players that you possibly can.
Well, like I said, Patrick, I think when you – how are they better from Nathan Peterman? I would say what you just heard and why I played those two bites, I think is why they chose him or they went after him to try to get him here. Familiarity with working with Derek Carr already. There's no – you know, he's not pushing him to be the starter. There's no – you know, whatever. Working in the offense, working in that scheme, being able to help Derek understand the scheme in this offense, being able to, you know, having worked with the quarterback's coach you just brought in, having worked with Clint Kubiak, having all of, I think that's the key here, which is why I keep saying it is a rebuild on the offensive side. Everybody has to learn the whole new thing. So I think they're purposely, Cedric Wilson Jr. ran you know, was a receiver with the Dolphins in this offense under McDaniel. So everybody they're playing in may, and I'm with you. I agree with you. They're not, you know, they're not flashing on the bottom of ESPN. They're not making you go buy jerseys. They're being brought in on purpose on that side of the ball to help facilitate the growth and the learning of this offense.
Gus.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, no, it's a shame because these people that run the Saints aren't good at their jobs. You have to go. I'll call you again.
All right, man. Give me a buzz when we got more time. I'm just explaining what they're doing. That's why I'm playing the sound for you. Rafael Esparza, let's go through the brackets here. It's a Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Driveways, pave it. Parking lots, pave it. Streets, pave it. Whatever you have Chris's Paving DL.
At VSI Doc Sports is the way to give a follow for Rafael Esparza, who's going to do two segments with us. We'll talk a little on the women's brackets, and then, of course, we'll go through the men's bracket here as well to help you kind of break things down. First off, sir, how are you? What a gorgeous day, man. Gorgeous day. Tell me you're outside a little bit today.
No, I have not sniffed the outside, and I probably won't sniff the outside until I hit the airport tomorrow at 4 in the morning.
Ooh, that's real early.
Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you, because obviously LSU won the national championship in the women's tournament last year. They're the defending champs. They're this season going into it. They got a 3 seed, are hosting Rice on Friday at 3:00. But I look at that side of the bracket, Regional 2, and wow, to get back to the Final Four, I don't know. I kind of feel like that draw is pretty, pretty tough. If they beat Rice, we'll play the winner of Louisville and MTSU, Middle Tennessee. Louisville's the 6th seed, so we think it's them. That's where, you know, Haley came from, the point guard when she transferred. If they get through that game, again, UCLA has 2 games to win, but they're the 2 seed, and they got a player that a lot of people are calling the next Caitlin Clark, or potential to be, you know, a face of the league here as well. So they would then have to beat the 2 seed in UCLA. And, oh, by the way, the 1 seed in this side of the bracket is Iowa, the number 1 seed. So one way, shape, or form, you would think Iowa might be there or not, but in the Elite Eight, you could be facing Iowa to have to go to the Final Four. That seems like a tough seed bracket to me.
Yeah, Regional 2 is a beast. And I'm going to say this not because I'm disliking LSU to a 3 seed, but Iowa's a 1 seed. They disrespected Iowa putting them in this region. This just you didn't even mention UCLA.
UCLA has that player
coming out on this. I have UCLA coming out of this. I think Iowa loses, and I think LSU both go down. So I have UCLA coming out there. But don't sleep on UNLV. If they get past Creighton, I think they can give UCLA a really, really hard battle. UNLV really, really quick and can hit the three ball pretty well. But, yeah, for Iowa and LSU, I feel bad for both of them because they have a tough – and we didn't even mention Princeton, who Iowa could probably play if they win. Princeton can – slow the game down for Iowa and pick apart and backdoor Iowa all game long. The Princeton women run the Princeton men offense. So it is, Regional 2 is a beast.
Yeah, it really is. And then when you take a look at it, look, obviously South Carolina, 4th straight year, they're the number 1 overall seed. They're 1 seed. Regional 4, Texas is a 1 seed. USC is a 1 seed in Regional 3. Who do you got in the Final Four for the women in Cleveland?
It's South Carolina. They've been bullet pointing their loss last year, not making it to the finals with LSU and Iowa and stuff like that. They came back with a vengeance. I think they easily win Regional 1 and go to the Final Four. I would not want it. South Carolina is going to come out really, really upset, especially with the fight coming with the LSU. Now they get the tournament. Mm-hmm. They all remember what happened last year in the tournament. They're going to be very... they're going to be high number spreads. I think they're probably game 1 point spread, but probably going to be in the 30s, even though they have to wait till all that. So they're going to be really high point favorites, and there's going to be a reason I think they cover a lot of those big numbers.
All right, let's get to the men's bracket. As Rafael just said, again, I like to think LSU can make a run to it. If they get to the Final Four, They would have earned it. That's for sure. So.
Yeah, I think they earn it more. I think LSU will earn it more if they make the Final Four this year than they did last year. Everyone keeps saying, oh, the reason why LSU won it last year is because South Carolina lost, blah, 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 blah. If LSU makes it to the Final Four, it would be more impressive this year than last year.
All right, let's do it. Let's start in the East, shall we? Do you want to start with the East on the men's side?
We can start wherever we go.
Okay, well, let's do it. Let's start in the East. UConn, the one seed there, taking on 16th Stetson. And then FAU and Northwestern, the 8-9 matchup there. Those two games, I would assume you have UConn moving forward. What about FAU and Northwestern?
You know, Northwestern, in the beginning of the season, I'd be like, ooh, that's a nice matchup. But they're all banged up. If you look at their injury reports, it's just amazing me how they can just fill up a team, FAU. Advances just because of how bad Northwestern's banged up.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess when you look at it, right underneath, these are Friday games, by the way. Those two games on CBS, 1:45 and 11:15. At 12:45 on TNT, San Diego State, a 5 seed. UAB, the Blazers, are a 12 seed. And then below that is a 3:15 game on TNT. 4 seed Auburn, 13 seed Yale. What about those two games?
The Mountain Best got disrespected on how they got seeded in this tournament, so they should be coming off pretty upset. I like San Diego State. Even though I don't like the bet number, it's 6.5. Some of them already moved to 7. I think San Diego State advances on that one. And Auburn, they looked really, really good. I feel bad for UAB. I think Auburn just comes in red hot. And Auburn can be a very, very bad play for UConn, which everyone thinks UConn's going back-to-back this year if you watch every TV show. Mm-hmm. But Auburn advances.
Really? You got Auburn moving on eventually on this. All right. Then you got on Thursday, same side here over on the East, True TV, the pair of games at 11:40 a.m. and 2:10. Sixth-seeded BYU, 11th-ranked Duquesne, and third-seeded Illinois and 14th-seed Morehead State.
Yeah, I like BYU in this one. If they hit the three ball, they can go to the Final Four. I said it.
Really?
It happened. They just shoot the ball so well. They're great. Of course, they're a great free throw shooting team as well. And we all know about free throws in close games, especially in a tournament. I like BYU advancing against Yale, and I got Illinois advancing to the Duke. I wouldn't be shocked if Illinois covers that number. But they're 12, and this number came down, opened up at 13, and it's got bet down. I like Illinois.
All right. Also on True TV, a 9:05 game, Washington State at taking on Drake. Washington State, a 7 seed, Drake, a 10th seed at 6:35. The game before that on True TV, Iowa State, a 2 seed, South Dakota State, a 15 seed. How about Iowa State? Do you think they can make a bit of a run?
They could, but the Jackrabbits are a tough team to beat. Iowa State could have had it. They could have easily came in and got a number 1 seed. They were, I think, second in line to get a number 1 seed. So they play really well. Tough conference, but don't sleep on Jack. I can't believe you can get plus 17 on the Jackrabbits. That's something I'm going to look at. And then Drake, Washington State. I don't bet anything that's Drake. If Drake bets something, I'm betting the other side. The school Drake, I'm betting the other side. Give me the Pac-12 team. Give me Washington State.
No, nothing to do with Drake. Is that what you're telling me?
Nothing to do with Drake and sports gambling.
Okay, I understand. That's why I ask you. That's why I'm having you on here as well. All right, let's do the West here. So we started out in the East. And in the East, I guess who are your two teams that make it to the Elite Eight?
In the Elite Eight, I have Auburn beating UConn. I mean, Auburn, I have BYU and Auburn. And I have probably Illinois and Iowa State.
Wow. Okay. And then who gets out of the East for you?
I had Auburn, but I wanted to take Iowa State so bad. But the way I watched Auburn play over the weekend, they're just well coached. They like playing, and they're a pretty deep team. I think they're going to run deep in the tournament. I'm gonna do an upset. I'm gonna say a 4 seed. So not like these people on TV where UConn, if you're all the number ones in the Final Four. No, I can't believe I'm saying this. Give me an SEC team. Give me an Auburn.
There it is. SEC. You said it. You said it yourself. So man,
I did say it.
Okay. All right. There it is. Rafael Esparza hates the Huskies. In the West, you got North Carolina waiting to see who they're going to play. Mississippi State, Michigan State. Will play the winner of that North Carolina and whoever game. Mississippi State and Michigan State That's an 11:15 game on Thursday, one of the first ones to get this tournament rolling. This is an interesting one. The Bulldogs made a run there in the SEC tournament. Michigan State, how strong are they? Who do you like in this game?
I kind of like Michigan State because every time I bet against them in the NCAA tournaments, they make it to the Elite Eight, Final Four, and they shouldn't have been there. I can see that happening here. That's why this point spread is so low. -1 Michigan State total is 130.5. I'm going to lean towards Michigan State just because of the experience of this tournament. I know Mississippi State played outstanding in SEC tournaments, really opened up my eyes with their play. I just can't bet against Michigan State.
Okay, I guess North Carolina will play the winner of Howard and Wagner, which is tomorrow on True TV, 5:40 p.m. Who do you like, Howard or Wagner?
I thought that was my cardiologist, Howard Wagner, but I guess it's two schools at the same time. I mean, it's North Carolina.
I know. I'm just saying Howard and Wagner. You know Chef Scotty and them are betting on every single game. So Howard or Wagner, give me a winner.
In that game, I like Wagner. I think they're pretty fast. This totals dropped, or totals were going up, I think, and I think because of Wagner's offense. The total 120.5. If you can get 128 right now at Caesars, but BetMGM and DraftKings both have 128.5, I would still take the over at 128.
The other game that's a play-in, it's Virginia and Colorado State to be the 10th seed. That will be tomorrow, and they will play Texas, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But who do you like, Virginia and Colorado State?
I was trying to figure out the total is 119.5 or 120. I mean, that is horrible for an NCAA. I'm hoping Colorado State blows out Virginia. Virginia shouldn't even be in this tournament. I can say Indiana State, I wanted to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in this NCAA tournament. If you don't know who that is, watch an Indiana State game. He's a tall white guy of class. Got the goggles on. They call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I wanted him. I don't want to see Virginia in this tournament for a total of 120. I hope Colorado State beats them by 100.
You got Grambling from up North Louisiana taking on Montana State. That will be in 2 days, a 5:40 game on True TV. Do you think the Tigers can make it?
Yeah, they can. And Montana State has cashed me so many tickets this year. They were covering machines, especially in the beginning of the year. I hate baiting them, but I like this Grambling State team. This number opened up at 4, quickly got bet down a little bit, then moved back up. I'm glad it's a Wednesday game to see if I can get more points. I'm looking for more points with Grambling State. I think they can win that one.
I mean, their reward is Purdue, but it is what it is, right? I mean, get in the tournament, have fun.
Yep.
Boise State and Colorado, the other first four game, and that is 8:30 in 2 days on Wednesday against, and again, they will be seeing who plays, Florida coming up. So who do you like, Boise State and Colorado?
Give me Boise State. Colorado gave me the middle finger when I had them against Oregon.
All right. We'll continue to break down the West when we come back. Still to come, the Midwest and the South brackets here as well. Rafael Esparza, as always, man, appreciate the time. Thank you, bud. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Answer that phone or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, so Rafael Esparza continues to break down the tournament and the men's side here as well. Just a recap, if people are just joining us, who do you got in the Final Four for the women? Obviously, LSU in a really, really tough Regional 2, potentially having to face UCLA to get out of that. They're also in the same side of the bracket with Caitlin Clark at Iowa. That's just to get to the Final Four. So who do you have in the Final Four and winning it all? You think it's South Carolina?
I got South Carolina, NC State, UCLA, and USC. And I have South Carolina playing USC, and I have the Gamecocks cutting down on it.
All right, there you go. And over on the men's side, you have Auburn coming out of the East to go to the Final Four. We're in the West, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Mississippi State. We went through those two games already. St. Mary's, Grand Canyon. That's a 5-12 matchup. Could we see a potential upset there?
I don't think so. Just the way St. Mary's took care of business against Gonzaga. They had some time off to rest on this one. There is some 5-12s. I think we'll see one, but not in this one.
Alabama, Charleston. Who you liking that one?
I like Bama. Charleston, they're not that deep of an. If you get in foul trouble, they could be in trouble early.
You got Bama eventually meeting up with North Carolina?
No. I got the Gales. St. Mary's. St. Mary's meeting up with Curtin. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yep. I can't pick all SEC teams. Come on.
Well, that's what I was hoping. I was kind of hoping that you would be basically an SEC homer. Clemson and New Mexico and Baylor and Colgate. Who do you got coming out of those two games?
I got New Mexico beating Clemson.
That's a 6-11.
I think watch out to Clemson. New Mexico shouldn't have been there, but they played really, really well in a tournament in the Mountain West and snuck in there and took someone's bubble. Mm-hmm. So they advanced, and I got Baylor.
So you got New Mexico continuing to sort of just kind of play well there. That would be an 11-6 upset if you have them in Baylor. You have them moving on. So New Mexico and Baylor, who you got winning that one?
I got Baylor, but I really wanted to take New Mexico on that one, but I have Baylor.
Oh, all right. Below them, Dayton, Nevada. Dayton, 7 seed. Nevada, a 10 seed. And then a 2nd seed, Arizona, against Long Beach State, the 15.
I got Dayton beating Nevada. I just think Dayton's just a more experienced team coming off a bad tournament loss. And I have Arizona beating Long Beach State. Even though Long Beach State is playing with a coach that's already been fired, they fired him before the conference tournament. He said he'll finish out and kind of coach the conference tournament and then wins it. So what a great story that is.
All right. I like that there. So who eventually do you have coming out of the West?
It's North Carolina.
Who do you play in the Elite Eight?
I have North Carolina playing Arizona. A little bit chalky on that one, but I think Arizona's going to come out and pretty PO'd. But I got North Carolina.
All right, let's go to the South. You got the 1 seed Houston taking on Longwood on TNT. That's on the 22nd at 8:20. And then Nebraska, an 8 seed. Texas A&M, a 9 seed at 5:50 over on TNT. About those two games, who comes out of those?
Houston and Nebraska. Love this Nebraska team. Love this Asian guy that plays in Nebraska. The left-hander, they call him the Asian Curry. So it is fantastic to watch him play. I like Nebraska beat Texas A&M.
Okay, I like that. Wisconsin and James Madison, a 5-12 matchup there. Is that the 5-12 upset this year?
Yep, I like the Dukes. Give me James Madison. Wisconsin, if you can outrun them and make it a little bit more fast-tempo game, even though they're scoring more this year, I think he can be beaten, and I like James Madison to beat Wisconsin.
Duke in Vermont. That's coming up here as well. Who you got winning that one?
Even though I love the Vermont, but I think Duke wins this one because I have Duke going out by James Madison, so I think Duke wins this one.
Wow, so yeah. James Madison, you got them beating a 5th seed in Wisconsin and a 4th seed in Duke. By definition, is that this year's Cinderella then?
No, because I think Houston beats them in the Sweet 16 to make it to the Elite Eight.
Okay, all right. Texas Tech, NC State, a 6-11 matchup. Texas Tech, the 6 seed, NC State, the 11 seed. And the winner of that game will play the winner of 3rd seed Kentucky, 14 seed Oakland.
Give me NC State. Winning 5 games in 5 days, they're just hot right now. I'll take the plus points, plus 5, and I think they win outright, and then Kentucky beats Oakland.
Okay. And in Florida, again, waiting the winner of the Boise State-Colorado game. So who you got there? Florida or the winner of Boise State-Colorado?
I like Florida. I think they're bad seeded here. I had them maybe 5-6, but if they won a couple more games of the tournament, they probably would have got that.
All right. And Marquette and Western Kentucky. Marquette, a 2 seed. Western Kentucky, a 15 seed.
Give me the Hilltoppers. Marquette's been banged up. They had some issues inside the locker room. Here's another upset. I'm taking Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. Remember a couple years ago, Western Kentucky beat Gonzaga at last-second shot, and they were the Cinderella. They can be a Cinderella team now.
All right. So out of the South, who do you got in the Elite Eight?
In Elite Eight, I have Houston playing Kentucky, and give me Big Blue Nation.
You got Kentucky going to the Final Four, huh?
Yep.
All right, so far you have Auburn and UNC and Kentucky in the Final Four. All right, so yep. Midwest, Purdue playing the 16 seed, which you say is Grambling. You like Grambling. Yes. You go there. All right. So I would assume Purdue advances. They will take on the winner of Utah State, an 8, TCU, a 9 seed.
I like Utah State. Everyone's probably going to bet TCU because they're playing in a better conference. They've had very tougher teams. But this Utah State's very tough. I like them beating TCU.
All right. There it is, Zags. Taking on Billy the Kid. and Will Wade. They did indeed get a 12 seed. So Gonzaga taking on McNeese, man. That is it's a profile game, I got to say, because everyone knows the Will Wade story around here locally. And Gonzaga getting a 5th seed here this year. That game, by the way, is Thursday at 6:25 on TBS. Who do you like winning that one?
I think Gonzaga wins, but this would not shock me if we see two 12-seed upsets on this
really?
One. Gonzaga did not look good against St. Mary's in their championship game and tournament in Vegas. This McNeese State, I like how they play. They're a deep team. Their coach, they like to play for the coach. And you're getting plus six on this game. I'm looking at bet McNeese State on this. I'm hoping for a better number.
They will play the winner of Kansas, a 4-seed, and Samford, a 13-seed.
I want to say Samford because Kansas all banged up. They got
no
some
way.
Issues
Come
on the bench as well. But they squeak, and I'm going to say squeak by on this game. That's why normally if they were healthy, Kansas would be like a 14-point favorite. They're only 7.5-point favorites, and this is the number coming down. Kansas wins, but I don't think they cover.
Okay, all right. South Carolina and Oregon. The Gamecocks, a 6-seed. The Ducks, an 11-seed. As they win the final Pac-12 tournament title yesterday. I saw that. And Creighton and Akron will be playing. Creighton, a 3rd seed. Akron, a 14-seed. Who do you have winning those two games?
I got Oregon coming out of that game, and I have Creighton.
All right. Texas waiting for the play-in. That is going to take place between Virginia and Colorado State. You like Texas or Virginia, Colorado State?
Colorado State.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, upsetting Texas there.
Mountain Best.
Tennessee, a 2-seed. St. Peter's, a 15-seed.
Horrible draw for Tennessee. Because St. Peter's want to try to slow this game down, but I don't think so. Tennessee got embarrassed over the weekend. They'll probably win by 30, and this one goes over. Low total, 129, Tennessee.
And look, Tennessee, for most of the season, I mean, even last week, right, at the beginning of the week, they were projected to be a 1-seed.
The number one.
Yeah. All right. So who do you got coming out of the Midwest in the Elite Eight?
In Elite Eight, I wish I could say Purdue. We're probably going to be bounced, but give me Tennessee. It was a toss-up between Tennessee and Creighton. I'm going to take Tennessee and how embarrassed I got them into the Final Four.
Really? So your Final Four, North Carolina in the West, in the Midwest, Tennessee. You got Kentucky coming out of the South, and in the East, you have Auburn.
Correct.
Who you got as your national champion?
It is North Carolina versus Tennessee.
Really?
And a team that didn't even make the tournament last year wins it, and you can get North Carolina at 18-1 right now. So if I can just make it to the Elite Eight, I can catch a ticket and cash some nice money. But North Carolina cuts the nets.
Wow. That would be, you would say it's a surprise for them to do that this year?
Yeah. I mean, for a team that didn't make the tournament last year, and now they're a number one seed, a little bit probably disrespected all season long. They put them in the West with Arizona, Dayton, Clemson. So I like North Carolina. I think they're an experienced team.
All right. Easy enough. Quickly, before we let you go, sir, and appreciate you doing two segments with us here today, NBA, we got to keep an eye on some games here as well because we need...
They're still playing?
Yes, we need some help. I need help. I mean, it's how it works. We not only do we have the Pels get going, but I'd like to see some teams lose. Grizzlies at the Kings tonight. Sacramento, 11.5-point favorites. What do you like?
Sacramento, and bets the bonus total rebounds over 13.5. He's just been a beast. Sacramento didn't even hit the 100 mark their last game. They're going to come out pretty PO'd. Kings win, and Sabonis has another month.
Knicks at the Warriors. Any shot New York can win?
They can. I mean, Golden State, if they don't hit their open J, they can be beaten. I like New York plus the points on this.
How about the Hawks at the Lakers?
Lakers got embarrassed on Saturday. I think they bounced back on this one. And probably, I think this one girly game goes over to Lakers play no defense.
Okay. No line just yet on the Pelicans and Nets tomorrow. Got to wait, obviously, for some injury reports and stuff. But
there is a line, Steve. There is a line. We posting your Pelicans -7 and nice. A total 217.
Okay. That's good. I like to see a split in Florida. right? I mean, win tomorrow, split in Florida, and then find a way to somehow just win one on Sunday at Detroit. That team's going to play you hard. But I like the split. If we're going to split, I'd probably say, do they beat Orlando or Miami?
They don't beat or Miami, and they lose to Miami in a rematch fight, too. So they go 0-2 that day.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler. Already done gave the warning.
Yeah, you don't go
already
to Butler's
done gave
house.
The warning. He did. He, right here in New Orleans, he said, can't wait for them to come to our place with all the I wouldn't even say a fight. Was it a fight? Well, I mean.
No.
Well, I mean, Jose Couple. Did throw punches. I mean, Jose and their bench guy did, you know. I mean, the Najee Jimmy Butler thing was just a show.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rafael Esparza, via Sidehawk Sports. Thank you so much, sir.
Talk to you next Monday.
Yep, and talk again next Monday, because Friday you're going to be a little bit busy. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Take it easy.
Yep. Quick break. We come back. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE, on ESPN Bets. He will also talk about some futures for the tournament here as well, some things to have some fun with. Marlon Favorite, 215. And then also coming up at 2:30, Leo Haggerty's The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. Sir, how are you?
Real good. It is a Monday here. I'll just let you know that. It's definitely got a Monday feel today. I lost a computer over the weekend and having to adapt.
I've had those days where you kind of just want to go back to bed if things don't go well on that aspect of it, but especially the computer thing, that really stinks. Well, sir, I want to ask you quickly, because obviously March Madness, man, so many people put, you know, some coin, as they like to say, when it comes to the tournament here as well. But I want to get your opinion. Just what do you think of the ladies' draw? And in particular, LSU, obviously being the defending national champion, people kind of pay attention to that. They are in a tough, tough regional where if they win some games, they likely will have to face the second seed in UCLA. They got some really good players there. And if they get through all of that, you'd expect Iowa to get to at least that game to the Elite Eight. You'd have to take on Caitlin Clark in Iowa again, the team that you played for the national championship last year. That's just to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was looking at a story on ESPN this morning, talking about the winners and losers of that bracket, and they definitely pointed out the idea that Iowa and LSU, they also talked about UCLA, though, as a loser in that bracket. In large part, they gave kudos to LSU, the Lady Tigers, having
your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Say no!
Plus, you can watch and listen to
Jeff, hold on, buddy. I can't hear you. Start over again.
I was hearing a commercial.
Sorry about that.
Misfired. That's okay. It happens. Trust me. I've been there. But again, suggesting LSU may be a little better battle-tested, having played South Carolina twice and those games being fairly competitive. But no doubt about it, there's a lot of people who think that Albany 2 bracket is not really fair, that you could have had two or three of those teams in that bracket, but before the bracket came out, could have been thinking two or three of those teams could have easily been national title champions in early April.
Yeah, like I said, it's you look at that bracket, man. It's tough to look at, but I guess Kim Mulkey's probably using that as a little bit of motivation, to say the least, for sure.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, remember when the NFC champion was the champion? I mean, you know, there was such a long run where if you got through the NFC playoffs, you felt pretty good going into the Super Bowl, and that's kind of what this bracket reminds me of.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Let's see what takes place. Rafael has South Carolina cutting down the nets on that aspect of it. So what about the futures, man? I saw a bunch of different things that you can bet on this. Buzzer beaters, you know. How many buzzer beaters will there be in the tournament? How many upsets will there be? When I look at futures and when I look at different aspects of the game, not just winning and losing, how else is ESPN Bet kind of setting things up for the tournament?
Well, here's one. Since we were just talking about the women's bracket, here's one to think about. ESPN Bet has on who will win the women's NCAA championship. And we've had one similar to this in weeks past, but South Carolina, the favorite, they are minus 140 against the field. The field plus 105.
Wow.
That's almost fairly even. You know, that's how confident they are, where the money's prospectively going on South Carolina. So that's a fun one to look at ESPN Bet. And then on the men's side, Purdue or Connecticut, either seemingly the favorites, both plus 240 against the field. The field minus 350 against either of those two teams. So, interesting opportunity there at ESPN Bet.
I like that. Have you taken a look at the bracket and have some ideas as to what you're seeing, or are you going to be like me, essentially, when you look at it and go, no idea? I have some idea because we've been talking about some of these games, and obviously the conference tournament, you get a little bit better look-see at it, but I just think it's open, man. I mean, Rafael doesn't have, and we just chatted with him, he does not have many one seeds going in other than North Carolina. He has all non-one seeds other than the Tar Heels.
I generally don't try and guess on these first couple of rounds, but when it gets to Sweet 16, that's when I like to get into a pool, and you really have a much better feel for what's going to happen. And again, maybe that's the coward's way out, but I just don't watch the college basketball season tight enough to really make smart things between 8 and 9s and 7s and who would they be playing? 9s or 10s, 7s and 10s, those kind of matchups. So I'll leave it to the experts and take a, you know, when I do choose to look at one of those games, I'll listen to some of the experts on it.
I hear you. What else do you want to hit on today, sir? You want to do some NBA games? You want to look at some more features or what? What do you want?
I did look at the Knicks. They're taking on Golden State. Golden State 35, 31 overall. 17 at home. New York 40 and 27 overall. 18-14 on the road. Warriors did beat the Knicks, and that's been a pretty tough thing. 110-99. That was in late February in New York in their first meeting this season. And taking a look at tonight's line as far as that game, ESPN Bet has that one. Warriors -6.5. 211.5 would be the over-under. Money is definitely leaning toward Golden State at minus 230, plus 190 for the Knicks. A couple of things you may want to look at. Knicks are 3-1 against the spread over the last four road games, which they are tonight. Warriors 9-5 against the spread over their last 14 games. A couple of things you might want to know as well. The Warriors coming off that 128-121 victory of the Lakers on Saturday, led by 31 points. Nice to have Steph Curry back in the lineup. And for the Knicks, Jalen Brunson continues to provide reasons why his status may rise to superstar level. Again, looking at the line, 6.5 points. It's a pretty reasonable line at home, but against a very good Knicks team. So there you go, a couple of things to chew on there.
Hey, I like that. How can folks get involved on ESPN Bet, sir?
You bet. Download the app if you haven't already. And if you have the ESPN app, your first new users, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. And ESPN Bet, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets, bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, download it today if you haven't already, but if you had, check it out. What a play. Again, if you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Got to be 21 to play. In partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles, terms and conditions apply, but the app has all the details for you, Gus. Check it out.
I love it as always, man. Appreciate the time. Mr. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNE.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Coming up, we'll have a couple of sound bites from Nathan Peterman, who spoke a little bit earlier today over at the Saints facility as some of the things that he was looking at and getting ready for the competition level. What are they trying to get with him here as well? And kind of getting that early look at the offense and talking to the staff. He's got some ties to Andrew Janoco. He's also played with under Clint Kubiak as well. So it makes sense as to why they would bring him in here as well. So I'm trying to get that in. I'm going to play that for you. And I'm trying to get some Cedric Wilson Jr. sound here as well for you. So all of that and more is coming up. I think about another minute or so here. So I do have a quick second to at least play one of these bites here as well. But essentially, on becoming a Saint, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, I've always, I don't know, something about just being here at the Saints was always kind of a cool thought to me. You know, I talked to him a little bit pre-draft, and so, you know, and had the opportunity to be here. Now, super excited about it. Then, you know, the opportunity to compete was a big one as well. Just to, you know, get out there and throw the ball around and see what happens, you know, on the field is awesome. And then obviously I have a little bit of familiarity with Derek as well. You know, I spent 3 years with him with the Raiders and had a lot of good times there. So just looking forward to getting that started again and see him soon.
And I think one of the other things you'll keep an eye on moving forward is that familiarity with some of this coaching staff here. And in particular, Andrew Janoco is the quarterback's coach. And he had this to say, saying, hey, look, the fact that he was here played it into him deciding to come and back up Derek.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely was a big part of it. You know, good to be back with him. Obviously, I was with him the last 2 years, so good to be able to keep that going and, yeah, see what we can do here.
All right, easy enough. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll play some more Nathan Peterman sound here, some Pell sound from the games back on Friday and Saturday. Thoughts, if you'd like to give us a buzz on the now Ruderman guest and hotline. Give them a buzz, 262-8222, RuderManCan.com, our brand new phone line sponsor. So a massive thank you to them. Hour two, brought to you by Chris's Pavings. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, they're locally owned and operated. So your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions, give them a buzz. Chris's Pavings. As always, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Hour three, coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is now live in Louisiana. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. That's